Season 5, episode 61, your midweek bonus episode, full of stupidity. Oh, and I'll tell you something else. As we get ready for our weekend episode, I just want you to know whenever I gave my insane Florida nephew, Pancho Guerrero, the various stupid headlines to pick from, he was overwhelmed to the point he couldn't decide and had to deflect back to me to pick the tiebreaker. So this is just how stupid it's gotten, folks. It's gotten so stupid, even my insane Florida nephew cannot make up his mind over which story is the stupidest. So it's going to be a week full of fantastic stupidity. So buckle your seatbelts, kids. All the stories that you're going to hear in this podcast are true. None of the names have been changed because we've all done something stupid. Saint Eric Lane, and welcome to the midweek bonus episode of My Stupid World. Just remember, if you see something stupid, say something stupid. And if you like the podcast, make sure you rate and review it, because I get five-star stupidity for you. So give it a five-star rating, and maybe even write a review of the podcast. I just might read it in an upcoming episode. Well, if you want to try to get out of something, I would not recommend trying to fake your own death. Usually, those really never go well. Case in point, I'm sure if you watch enough movies, well, it might seem reasonable for you to fake your own death to get out of the problems you're dealing with, but that only happens in the movies. But there's a lot more to it than never being seen again. A 39-year-old man in Kentucky named Jesse Kipf has just admitted to faking his own death, and, well, he gave it a lot of effort. I'll give him an A for effort. He'd accessed the Hawaii Death Registry system using the details of a doctor living in another state, and he created a case for his own death. Now, he assigned himself as the medical certifier for his own death and then certified it. And amazingly, that did work. Well, at first. He was listed as deceased in many government databases. Now, the police say he was primarily faking his death just to get out of paying more than $100,000 in child support to his ex. A real Hall of Fame dad there. It's really unclear how he was caught, but it sounds like that, let's just say he got a little too hack-happy. He was also accused of fraud for opening bank accounts with a false Social Security number, and he also hacked into businesses and government and corporate networks with information that he stole from others. And then he attempted to sell the access to the networks online. Maybe it was a slippery slope, but if you just faked your own death, you might want to avoid attracting attention to yourself, you see. Well, he could have been sent to prison for 30-plus years, but he agreed to a plea deal to serve 7 and pay $500,000 in fines plus restitution. I mean, what an absolute deadbeat dad. You can't get any worse than this. I mean, he somehow makes Hunter Biden look like Father of the Year. He owes a ton in child support. It's kind of hard to believe this dude isn't in the NFL. Well, we have a 51-year-old Dublin man who appeared in court completely naked and refused to wear clothes after his emotional support cat went missing during a traffic stop arrest. His name is Joseph Davis. He was charged with road traffic act offenses of failing to give police his details and not keeping the car stationary during an alleged incident along Dunsink Drive in Finglas. The judge, Quirka, heard the motorist refuse to wear his clothes when brought to the courthouse. She remanded him in custody with a consent to $217 bail, directed medical attention, and asked police to find out what happened to his cat, Oliver. Davis entered the stunned courtroom naked, with his hands over his privates, but within seconds, he stood with arms outstretched to argue his case after rejecting the services of a lawyer, telling him to F off. Judge Quirka told him to sit down, but he stood and claimed he had been stripped and humiliated as he demanded an opportunity to speak. She added that there was no obligation or there was no objection to his bail, but the Gardaí, which is the state police force in the Irish Republic, sought a $100 cash lodgment. "I don't see his wallet on him today," the judge remarked, at which Davis interjected, "You don't see effing anything." The court sergeant informed the judge the man has had his property, including his clothes, and he just won't put them on. Davis went on a tirade, but was warned that anything said must be relevant to the case. "Let me tell you my story," he says. "This is relevant. This is my story. I was traveling with my companion pet, Oliver. He normally comes into this court. I was dropping off legal documents pertaining to a legal case in the High Court." Well, he remained on his feet throughout this 9-minute hearing. Davis called police scum, maintaining he tried to show them the documents that he had been bashed. He claimed that he had been lent a car involved in the alleged offense and demanded, "Now, where is my emotional support animal?" The judge was told that Davis was previously allowed to bring the cat to court with him, provided he kept it on a leash. While escorted from the courtroom, he replied that he did not need a doctor, just his pet. The judge assured him, "All that will be looked into." Of course, he is yet to plead to the charges, and he will next appear in the local district court, hopefully with clothes and his cat. Well, there's a very independent woman who married herself at her dream wedding. She's been branded a narcissist by critics online. Her name is Danny, originally from Florida. Now she lives in Los Angeles. Spent $4,000 on a wedding to marry herself after embarking on a self-love journey. The body image coach and body positivity influencer went viral last year after committing sologamy. It's the act of marrying yourself, but now has since faced backlash for it. Speaking on YouTube channel's Love Don't Judge, Danny says, "I'm judged because I spent $4,000 on a wedding to marry myself. Before the wedding, I spent a couple of years in therapy just really trying to find myself. During my self-love journey, I stopped drinking. I stopped having sex. I spent a lot of quality time with myself, taking myself on dates, just really finding out what I like." Growing up, Danny says, she never understood a man's part in a wedding day as it's all about the bride, and admitted she has dreamed about marrying herself since she was a child. She added, "Why can't I love myself? Why can't I marry myself? I'm not hurting anybody. I planned the wedding before I told anyone about it, and because I didn't want anyone to deter me from marrying myself." She says all of her family and friends came to support her as she walked down the aisle to say her vows into a mirror. However, not everybody agrees with sologamy, with Danny adding, "The most hurtful comment I experienced online was people saying that I had to marry myself because no one would want me." What messages are we sending people of size? That they are unlovable, that they are unworthy? That is not true. I can get married to a man tomorrow. Since marrying myself, though, Danny has now started dating again as she begins to search for that romantic partner, having already found a deep connection with herself. Does she have to divorce herself now? Well, she says, "I will continue to inspire women to show little girls that loving themselves is the most beautiful thing that they can do." Well, I've heard of people divorcing themselves from situations, but I've never heard of anyone divorcing themselves from themselves. Well, anyway, there's a 22-year-old Georgia woman that probably needs to be divorced from society. She checked out of a Bonifay, Florida hotel and told staff she was going to go on a God-directed shooting spree because of the solar eclipse, and then shot two drivers on I-10 before being arrested and charged with attempted murder, according to the Florida Highway Patrol. Taylan Nichelle Celeste, or maybe it's Celestine, entered the highway 115 miles from the Alabama border in the Florida Panhandle and headed west. Within 5 miles, she fired into a passing car several times, spraying auto glass and grazing the driver in the arm, according to the department in a statement. She then fired a second vehicle and hit the driver in the neck. The driver was injured and treated at a hospital. Well, troopers stopped the woman after she drove for about 16 miles, and they found her with an AR-15 rifle and a 9mm handgun. She was arrested and booked into the Holmes County Jail and charged with attempted murder, aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, and improper discharge of a firearm. The Florida Highway Patrol did not provide any details about bail or Celestine's legal representation, or whether or not God approved of her actions. And here's another reason I don't really like to fly. But a United Airlines flight that was bound for Seattle had to divert to Dallas, according to a person posting on Reddit, because dog poop was to blame for that diversion of his flight from Houston. The person attached a photo on the social media platform. United Airlines later confirmed the incident. The Redditor wrote, quote, "Dog had messy accident in the aisle right in first class. Plane diverted to DFW. Ground crew spent over 2 hours cleaning carpets with paper towels. The smell made me ill. Gate agents kept yelling at passengers and the cabin crew. The smell never quite went away. First class toilet declared unusable as the dog mess was apparently unresolved in there. Food went bad while on the ground, so very few snacks left." One commenter on the post claimed to have spotted a woman and a service dog exiting the flight. The airline does allow dogs aboard domestic flights as long as they can fit in a carrier under the seat where they're meant to remain there at all times. So how the dog poop around got onto the aisle, well, I think we all know. And there was the bus driver at a private school in Fort Pierce, Florida, who has been fired after several parents said that he stopped a bus full of students on the train tracks just as a freight train was approaching. Synergy Magnet K-12 School said the bus driver, who has not been named, was let go after a 48-hour internal investigation. According to what was told to WPTV, what happened is another freight train passed by the school, reminding the students of the scary moments on her bus. And well, here's some of the audio from when the train almost hit the bus and middle schooler Madison Corey and her father, Paul Runber, talking about the incident.
Could have been me that got hit by that.
We had one student that we were talking to. She had headphones in, and she looked around when everyone was screaming to get the bus driver to move. And she seen the train coming. She put the headphones back in, and she put her head down expecting to die.
At that point, a lot of us were expecting to die.
Now, Corey went on to tell the TV station that her bus driver dropped off some of the younger kids at the Synergy Magnet's K-12 campus and was heading to the older students' campus off US 1 when the bus driver suddenly stopped on the tracks at the crossing on Edwards Road. Now, surveillance footage released by the school shows the students riding the bus shortly before coming to the intersection. At about 8:20 a.m., the bus stops briefly and then starts crossing the tracks. And at the same time, the sound of the crossing arms can be heard coming down. Shortly afterwards, in the video, the bus abruptly stops and the crossing arm hits the top of the bus. Students start screaming for the bus driver to move. The bus driver yells at the students to be quiet and continues driving the bus off the tracks. The bus was stopped for about 20 seconds. Corey said that she called her parents, who then contacted the school to report what happened. According to screenshots provided to WPTV by her parents, the school replied via text, "We will notify transportation immediately to do an investigation." Shortly afterwards, the screenshots show the school notified Corey's parents that the bus driver had been fired. Now, WPTV contacted Synergy Magnet officials who said that they had no idea the bus driver ever made additional stops and said that if it had been reported to them earlier, he would have been fired from this incident. School officials also said multiple references were checked before hiring the driver, who had a clean driving record. The school also doesn't believe the incident was intentional. So, yeah. Another bad school bus driver story. Nothing like stopping right in front of a freight train to really put the fear of God in your students. Well, there's an undercover video from Sound Investigations that features former FBI employee and contracting CIA officer Gavin O'Blenis claiming that there were at least 20 FBI agents in the January 6th crowd at the Capitol riots. O'Blenis also revealed that the agency was behind the lawsuit brought by Sandy Hook families against the talk show host Alex Jones. Now, in the end, he said the agency got what it wanted. to take all of his money. Oblenis tells the undercover journalist that FBI agents are always present in crowds during protests in the nation's capital. Says, I mean, I'm talking, they maybe had 20. You need 1,000 to get rid of the crowd. Now, he also told the journalist that after the incident, the FBI did not want anybody to know that they had agents in the crowd. Now, when asked if people would find out about the agents, Oblenis said, nope, and they probably never will. Now, he said he personally knew agents that were present at the J6 riots. The undercover journalist asked Oblenis about the FBI's involvement with the defamation case against Alex Jones, and Oblenis said that the agency can put anyone in jail. When the undercover journalist asked if the agency could put pro-lifers in jail, Oblenis replied, whenever they want. You can kind of put anyone in jail if you know what to do. Well, how? Oblenis simply replied. He said, you set them up. You create a situation where they have no choice but to act on their impulse. And once they act on that impulse, some would call that entrapment. It's a fine line. So, when asked if the FBI practices entrapment a lot, Oblenis replies, we get really close. We get as close as we can without doing it. The FBI calls it a nudge. The former FBI employee says the agency will put a fake post up in order to trigger someone on social media to get a desired reaction. He added that once they get to this point, they already know your history and they know everything about you. When asked if this could lead to a rally by the journalist, the former FBI employee said that sometimes it could occur. Oblenis said the FBI was after Alex Jones hardcore, but not anymore because he's broke after the Sandy Hook defamation lawsuit. He said the agency just wanted to shut Jones up, and they succeeded. Now, the investigator said, and the goal with him was what? To just bankrupt him? And Oblenis replied, pretty much. And we let the Sandy Hook families do it. We don't encourage any people. We just say there's no federal statute being broken, but you do have the option for a civil case, and it's a pretty good case in our opinion. So you just say that the FBI is really good at stacking the decks or putting the thumb on the scale, you might say. Yeah. That's for all the sheep out there listening. Well, arguing that he was not the subject to an arrest, 35-year-old Florida man, police said that he was allowed to be drunk and disorderly and sit naked in a trash can on the public sidewalk. Now, this was in St. Petersburg. The cops there alleged that Wiley James Weeks was intoxicated, unsteady on his feet, and smelled of booze when they discovered him on a downtown street. Weeks was extricated, sans the clothes, from a cornered trash can and arrested for disorderly conduct and disorderly intoxication and resisting an officer without violence, both of which are misdemeanors. In addition to claiming that he could not be punished for his louche take on Oscar the Grouch, Weeks said he did not have to provide officers with his name or demographics. Weeks pleaded guilty to both counts and was fined $520. His rap sheet overflows with theft, disorderly conduct, panhandling, criminal mischief, and other misdemeanor convictions. One of his prior busts came after Weeks and a male friend were spotted drunk and naked on a Tampa street after they exited a bar. Somehow, being in Florida means you have to be naked a lot. The duo told cops that they thought it would be funny to strip off all their clothes. Well, this is how you know that squatting is truly out of control. Yeah, I mean, even Oscar the Grouch's home is being invaded by dirtbags. Kind of makes sense that this dude was drunk in the garbage. I mean, after all, these days, cheap liquor and trash cans are pretty much all that people can afford. And speaking of naked, the Slidell, Louisiana Police Department was asking for the public's help in finding a woman reportedly wielding an axe at a campsite. According to the officers, about 7:24 in the evening, a man called police telling them that he had been chased out of a wooded area with a woman holding an axe. The victim told Slidell police that he had been assisting a man in finding his way back to Mississippi and went into a nearby patch of woods to check on him. While there, the victim said he was approached by an angry woman who police identified as Angela Wagner, was also naked and swinging an axe. He reportedly told officers that the woman raised the axe over her head and began to chase him. And as he ran, he said Wagner was close behind him but was able to outrun her and made it to his vehicle. Slidell police said Wagner was last seen walking down a public road, still unclothed. Officers said they eventually found Wagner fully clothed at a truck stop and arrested her for charges of aggravated assault and obscenity, second offense. They add that drugs are suspected to be a factor in that attempted attack. Of course they would be. And then there's the 13-year-old from British Columbia, Canada, who demolished a $500,000 Lamborghini after tricking its seller into thinking he was older, then crashing it into a ditch during a joyride. The owner was in the process of selling the Huracan model sports car when he handed the keys over to the teen and their friend. Well, that's a dumb move. The owner didn't ask any questions about their age or licenses before they began their ride. The youngster was thought to have been doing 62 amid the dark and rainy conditions when they lost control of the vehicle. They then plowed into a ditch off of the Trans-Canada Highway in West Vancouver. Officers arrived around 11 p.m. and found the car empty. They eventually located its occupants uninjured at a nearby residence. Police said the teen was not being charged with the theft as the owner had granted permission for them to use the vehicle, which was in the midst of a sale process that would take a few days. However, the 13-year-old was charged with speeding, driving without due care, failing to remain at the scene of the crash, and driving without a license, and the owner is not facing any charges. But he just lost a $500,000 Lamborghini in the process. Get up close and personal with My Stupid World by interacting with the podcast through Insane Eric Lane's Stupid World's Telegram channel. I post the actual articles used in the podcast episodes every weekend from the week's collection of stupidity. When you join the channel, you'll get to read the actual stories, see the actual photos, or watch the actual videos from the stupidity that is talked about in each episode. And you can even make comments about what you read or seen, even comments with your suggestions or opinions about what I've talked about. You can even share the links to some of the stupid stories that you've encountered. Visit t.me/insaneericlane. That's t.me/insaneericlane to see a preview of the channel and download Telegram Messenger, the app to your smartphone. It's also available in desktop versions as well, and it's supported on Windows, Linux, Apple, and Android platforms. Telegram is a secure messaging app that's gaining in popularity. You can learn more by visiting telegram.org.
And now, from the news desk of Insane Eric Lane, it's The Week in Review.
Passengers on a Houston-bound Southwest Airlines flight recently watched in horror as an engine on the Boeing 737-800 appeared to come apart mid-flight. Flying on these planes is so horrifying that airlines say it's now mandatory to drink before boarding. Air travelers might as well adopt their own slogan these days. If the plane is Boeing, then I ain't going. According to a new study, filing taxes has brought some Gen Z and millennials to tears. But nothing brings all Americans to tears quite like actually paying taxes throughout the year. The deadline was looming, and almost half of the Gen Z and millennials in the survey said they didn't know when the deadline was, mainly because if it's not on the front page of TikTok, they have no clue what's going on. Live cams from the Earth Cam perched across New York City, including high atop the Statue of Liberty, captured a wild 4.8 magnitude earthquake in real time, which was actually kind of nice because usually cameras in the city just capture violent crime. Luckily, the shaking didn't last very long, but if you're attempting to rent in that city, the shakedowns will never end. Mount Etna, Europe's largest active volcano, delighted tourists and locals by blowing almost perfect circles of smoke into the blue skies over Sicily. Meanwhile, in America, the only circles of smoke being released are by some creep vaping every 2 seconds. These were absolutely incredible to see. I mean, so well formed, you'd think it was Elizabeth Warren sending smoke signals. Strictly Confidential star Elizabeth Hurley says that having her son direct the sensual love scenes in the movie was liberating. She had no major issues filming these parts, but now her son probably has major mommy issues. Hurley makes out with another woman in the film, which means men will be using plenty of Kleenex, but not for crying. Will Smith helped Jackie Chan celebrate his 70th birthday by sharing some throwback snaps from the Karate Kid remake, which was frustrating for everyone who saw the picture because, well, it took years to forget that that movie ever happened. After a magical and record-breaking run, Caitlin Clark bid goodbye to Iowa basketball on social media, and unlike her next stop at the WNBA, this post actually had tons of views. A 34-year-old man was recently stabbed in the back during a brutal ball on a Manhattan subway, which is rather tough because U.S. citizens already have to deal with being stabbed in the back by elected officials. A person with a ticket matching all six Powerball numbers in the most recent $1.3 billion jackpot came forward to claim the prize. The money was won in Oregon, which means this person can now afford a one-bedroom condo on the coast. A new survey finds that more Americans now prefer the hybrid work model over being fully remote, so it sounds like a nation we've now decided wearing pants is so back. Sounds like people enjoy seeing their coworkers at least a couple of times per week, but would still prefer to never see their boss, of course. Firefighters and animal rescuers teamed up in Missouri to rescue an escaped mountain goat seen climbing the support pillars under a highway overpass bridge, and it's a good thing that they got him because this could have been a bad situation. Authorities in the Russian Republic of Chechnya have announced a ban on music that they consider too fast or slow. And now Americans wish our government would ban certain music so we could finally get rid of the Jonas Brothers and Justin Bieber. As a result, I'm sure people in Chechnya will have to leave the music industry, which is what we're hoping will also happen with Lizzo. Per deadline, Dune Part 2 will extend its run in IMAX theaters in the top 20 markets across North America, starting on April the 19th, which is pretty smart because on 4/20, everybody will be too high to find their local movie theater. Surveillance cameras in downtown Nashville, Tennessee, captured the moment that Morgan Wallen threw a chair over a rooftop railing at Eric Church's bar Chiefs, which led to his recent arrest. Yeah, the video showed that chair came crashing down faster than a Boeing airplane. Sounds like this dude needs to lay off the sauce. And although this went down in Nashville, I'm not talking barbecue. Tiger Woods could have set a Masters record by making the cut, which would have been the 24th of his career, the most all time. Tiger wasn't this excited to play with his balls since Hooters opened in Augusta. Of course, had he gotten to 24 cuts made, he would have surpassed golf legends Gary Player and Fred Couples, which is fitting because Tiger is a player who likes to mess around with couples. Inflation accelerated for the third straight month, keeping prices painfully high for millions of Americans and likely delaying any interest rate cuts by the Federal Reserve. Or as Corinne Jean-Pierre would say, the economy is booming. This is why we need Bill Belichick and Tom Brady to come back. I mean, after all, nobody was better at deflating than those two. According to a new survey, the number one thing that influences Gen Z's happiness is having a purpose, which is surprising because I thought it'd be having an internet access so they could be on TikTok all day long. And a Nebraska man said a quick stop for a salad led to his winning a $1 million Mega Millions prize. His friends were absolutely stunned that a grown man actually stopped for a salad. This dude was eating lettuce, but now he's back to rolling in dough. Tulsa King director Craig Zisk defended Sylvester Stallone following claims that the actor verbally abused background actors on the set. He assured everyone that Sly didn't say those things because he can barely talk in the first place. Stallone was accused of calling certain actors ugly. He was then promptly handed a mirror. Golf fans at the Augusta National Golf Club reacted to Tiger Woods' physical stature, saying that he looks buff. Turned out that the weights in the gym are like waitresses at Applebee's. Tiger is pumping them hard. Tiger's veins were popping out, but enough about what was going on in his pants. Former President Donald Trump received a warm welcome when he stopped by an Atlanta Chick-fil-A and ordered 30 milkshakes. After he was done ordering for himself, he bought stuff for the people in the restaurant, too. Trump actually did order all those milkshakes for customers, so get ready for the left to accuse him of buying votes and trying to jail him again. New research suggests that your pocket might not be the safest place to store your mobile device due to cell phone radiation, which means this is the one time you don't want to tell someone, keep it in your pants, pal. Workers hurriedly tried to shore up a rural Utah dam after a 60-foot crack sent water pouring into a creek and endangering the 1,800 residents of a downstream town. But the people in Utah are used to getting soaked. Of course, if you didn't get that one, go to the Urban Dictionary and search for the Mormon term soaking. Or you can just pass and simply not ruin your day. Commuters at a train station in Australia were left doing a double take as an escaped racehorse joined them to wait for a passenger service. But it was nice because it gave them a chance to bet on while they were waiting. Betting on a racehorse is much better than taking public transportation these days, because by taking public transportation, you're gambling with your life. And that new movie, Civil War, starring Kirsten Dunst and Nick Offerman, is out in theaters. But look, who needs to pay for a movie about Civil War when you can just turn on basic cable? The movie takes place in a dystopian America, or as most people refer to it, modern times. The 80-year-old Robert De Niro and his 45-year-old girlfriend Tiffany Chen were photographed holding hands as they arrived at the state dinner held by President Biden. And having Tiffany at the event was useful because she's experienced in changing adult diapers. The state dinner, co-hosted by 72-year-old First Lady Jill Biden, was held to honor 66-year-old Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida. This was such a collection of old farts that it's surprising the dinner didn't take place at IHOP at 4 p.m. And the start of the 2024 Masters Tournament was disrupted by storms and adverse weather ahead of the opening tee-off time at Augusta National. Yeah, Tiger's balls were so wet you'd think he just met up with a Chili's waitress. The Republican-led Tennessee legislature has overwhelmingly voted to send GOP Governor Bill Lee a proposal that would ban marriage between first cousins, which would mean the marriage rates in that state are about to absolutely plummet. The House cast a 75-2 vote on the bill after the Senate previously approved it without any opposition. Now, that means there's two people out there who want first dibs on their first cousins. A study into the work habits of Americans revealed that Washington, D.C. tops the list of America's hardest working cities, and that means that study authors forgot to include the White House. Also in the top five hardest working cities were Anchorage, Alaska, as in everyone is working hard to save enough money to move out of Anchorage, Alaska. And attendees at the National Beard and Mustache Championships in Florida broke three Guinness World Records for the longest chain of beards, mustaches, and partial beards. Needless to say, these people really took everyone on quite the mustache ride. The beard sporting participants stood side by side. Their facial hair was clipped together into an 86-person chain measuring 195 feet. And it was just nice to see a large group of people showing off their body hair somewhere other than Pornhub. The sheer size of the poo from a giant snake has left Facebook users gobsmacked, with some people admitting they didn't even think serpents defecated. The snake appears to be a carpet python, but look, you'd think we're talking about a brown snake. The beast, native to the area in and around Australia, hangs its backside over a metal bar and was snapped midway through a poo that appears to be about a foot long, which is also what happens to humans after ordering too much Chipotle. Denise Richards and Charlie Sheen's 20-year-old daughter, Sammy, shared a racy snap of herself in bed wearing a tiny pink thong and promoting her OnlyFans. So unlike her dad, who started 2.5 men, Sammy stars in 2.5 inches. Tiger Woods posted his worst Masters score ever as the golf legend fired a 10-over par 82. This was beyond weird for Tiger because he usually never has any problems getting it in the hole. 82 is a very high number for Tiger, unless, of course, we're talking about the number of TGI Fridays waitresses he took home over the weekend. And finally, Disneyland is being sued after a worker dressed as Goofy collided with a woman and knocked her over, causing physical injuries. She's suing for an astronomical figure, or something similar, such as a 2-day pass and a food voucher. The woman claimed that Goofy fell on top of her with all of his weight, driving her into the hard cement floor, which is highly unusual because normally this only happens when massive brawls break out at theme parks. Hey! I'm open to talking about anything, but love talking about surviving in the stupidity that's always around us. And if you're insane enough to ask, I'm insane enough to reply. I'd love to hear from you either by leaving a voice message or a written message. And you can even do that at podcast.insaneericlane.com. Leave any comment you have from a podcast or even a question you have. I'll be happy to address either one. Your questions or comments might even be played and or even talked about in a future podcast episode. And if you or someone you know would like to join in on a podcast, you're more than welcome to participate. You can download the Spotify for Podcasters app on your phone, and you can do that just as simple as a phone call. Or I can even send you a link that you can actually participate from the website. You can download the app to your favorite app store and add that podcast to your favorites. You can also email me with comments, questions, requests at shoutout@insaneericlane.com. And of course, should you certainly subscribe to the podcast if you listen on Apple, iHeart, Breaker, Google, Vrbo, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Spotify, or whatever podcast platform you're listening to. Don't forget to follow me also on Facebook and X. Just look up the handle @InsaneEricLane.
Underneath this genius, I'm simply a human.
It's like a caveman thing or
something. And now, this week's Genius Award.
And in this week's Genius Awards, video released to the Fox 8 I-Team shows Sandusky, Ohio police arresting a 20-year-old man they say used a translator app to try to rob a local bank. The suspect, Yexon Brito Gonzalez, is from Venezuela, and police say he may be in the country illegally. We have no way to tell if he's here legally or not, says Sandusky Police Chief Jared Oliver, but he has no proof of identification. Now, the attempted robbery happened at around 11:30 in the morning. The man called police, saying the suspect was in the bank, not talking, and trying to get around the counter. The I-team obtained bank security video that police say shows the suspect holding up his phone to the tellers. Police say the suspect did not speak English and was using a translator app to tell the tellers to get the money and put the money in the bag. When the tellers did not give him any money, he left. The suspect denied trying to rob the bank. He told officers he went to the bank and asked them to put money inside a bag. The suspect is facing charges of attempted robbery, attempted theft, and criminal trespassing. This is certainly one way to use a translator app, because you just know this guy was never using it to search for jobs. The people of Sandusky were appalled. They're asking this creep to take this crime back to where it belongs, to the city of Akron. And then there's this. This is the moment a furious gym goer bit another woman's finger off in a fight over hogging an exercise machine. Now, the fight broke out after a 44-year-old woman named Rosanna accused another 66-year-old named Leticia using a leg press for too long at the Gymnasio Great Fitness Workout Center in Monterrey, Mexico. In closed-circuit TV footage, Leticia can be seen jumping up to confront her accuser before the two got physical. Despite other people attempting to pull them apart, Rosanna soon manages to grab Leticia's hair and begins dragging her along the gym floor. As the two continue to grapple, Leticia bites off her rival's finger, and Rosanna is later seen being comforted by a man, at which point she then realizes she has been bitten and faints on the floor. A member of the staff is seen fanning her with a towel while others arrive with water and what seems to be a medical kit. Photos taken in the aftermath show Rosanna's right hand with the tip of her little finger missing. A plastic bag shows the fingertip, still with its red nail varnish after it was collected for evidence. Another snap shows a defiant-looking Leticia in handcuffs standing beside a police car. Police arrested both women, and gym managers told the local media both of their memberships had been canceled. Leticia reportedly faces charges of assault, while Rosanna is said to be recovering from her injuries. It's currently not clear if doctors were able to reattach the bitten-off digit. Look, everyone needs a good post-workout meal, but this is not the type of finger foods you should eat. Now, maybe I'm wrong. I mean, after all, fingers must be a great source of protein. Or how about this? A 34-year-old Missouri man is facing a felony theft charge for allegedly swiping 8 luxury vibrators from an adult toy store and then trying to fence them via Facebook Marketplace. Christopher Michael Booth was named in a felony complaint charging him with stealing the vibrators, valued at a combined total of $1,539.20, from a Hustler Hollywood outlet in Berkeley, a St. Louis suburb. The purloined sex toys, which retail for about $200 apiece, are manufactured by Lilo, a Swedish company that advertises itself as one of the world's leading designer brands for intimate lifestyle products. Booth last allegedly took the vibrators from a display, placed them in a white trash bag, and raced out of the store. Employees told police they recognized the suspect because he had been in the store the day earlier and had argued with them before being asked to leave. The man, workers also recalled, had the number 314 prominently tattooed on his neck, which is the main St. Louis area code. Items consistent with those stolen from the store were later offered for sale on Facebook Marketplace under the defendant's Facebook profile, according to police. Booth's rap sheet includes multiple theft convictions as well. Now, this was a big story in that town. Yeah, stealing luxury vibrators certainly created quite the buzz. Yeah, he stole these things directly from the Hustler Hollywood outlet. But unlike most items, they would have been more valuable had he stolen the used ones. What about this? Authorities in Pasadena are searching for a suspect or suspects that stole more than a dozen vintage 1920s-era bronze streetlight poles. The thefts, according to a news release from the city officials, occurred over a 3-day period between 11 p.m. and 3 a.m. along South Orange Grove Boulevard between Green and State Streets. In the last 4 days alone, we've had 11 of them stolen, so says Pasadena Public Information Officer Lisa Deterian to KTLA-TV. The historic bronze streetlight poles are more than 100 years old, and authorities said that replica-style replacements could cost upwards of $1,600. Authorities believe the suspects are using a vehicle to ram the streetlights before using the chain and the vehicle to forcibly pull the poles from their foundations. The crooks, according to the authorities, are likely to try to salvage the bronze that the poles are partially made from. They probably get $400 to $500 for it, so that is really who we want to target, is the middleman, according to Dejarian. These guys must be excited for the Olympics. After all, they couldn't wait to take home the bronze. I mean, these guys stole frickin' streetlight poles. Of course, I can only assume they did this to earn enough money to go out and check out some stripper poles. And you gotta check this one out. A naked 24-year-old man was arrested in New Mexico after allegedly pulling a light fixture off of a home and assaulting a police officer. Elijah Jason Paul DeArmond was arrested around 10 p.m. after Las Cruces police officers allegedly found him completely naked and at the front door of a home along Gilmer Way. Court documents reported that DeArmond arrived at the home naked and began banging on the front door. The homeowner told DeArmond to leave the property when he allegedly became disorderly, ripped the light fixture off the front porch, and broke the front glass door by throwing a rock at it, according to documents. The suspect is also accused of breaking the front window, possibly with his hands. When officers got to the scene, they shined their spotlight on DeArmond, who ran toward a patrol vehicle before an officer exited and ordered him to get on the ground. DeArmond somewhat knelt on the ground and allegedly grabbed an officer who was attempting to detain him by the front of his vest, pulling on it twice. The officer then shoved DeArmond to the ground and 2 officers were needed in order to arrest him. He also allegedly injured one of the officers by grabbing her left hand and refusing to let go until she hit him in the face several times. DeArmond was booked into the Doña Ana County Detention Facility on 2 counts of battery upon a peace officer, indecent exposure, criminal damage to property over $1,000, and resisting, evading, and obstructing an officer. This guy was naked and pulling a light fixture. At least I'm happy he wasn't pulling something else. One thing's for sure, we're not dealing with the brightest bulb in the pack. And you'll never believe this one. A mother-daughter duo found themselves in handcuffs following an undercover operation in Cypress, Texas, where they were accused of traveling across the country to give paying clients illegal butt injections. The mother, 56-year-old Consuelo Dalbo, and her 18-year-old daughter, Isabella Dalbo, were arrested separately, but both are facing charges related to unlawful medical practice. The sting, conducted by the Houston Police Department, took place at a temporary residence on Eastern Meadowlark Way near Telge. According to the investigators, Dalbo's charged $6,000 per procedure and allegedly performed the injections immediately after arriving in Texas from California. During the sting operation, authorities reported confiscating bags that contained illegal injectables and medical equipment. Officers from HPD's Major Offenses Division and agents from the FDA and Homeland Security investigations worked to arrest the pair. The women were under the impression that they were going to a private residence to meet a client. Instead, they were met with officers. Additionally, they tried to give the client, who was the undercover officer, Xanax to relax before the injections. Documents show that the women were not even sure what was in the bottles. So these two were nabbed for performing illegal butt injections. I mean, their clients' butts blew up even more than a gym bro hitting squats. Now they're going to prison. Well, that'll be where they'll have to worry about something else going into their butts. Okay, one more. The Metropolitan Police Department has arrested a 56-year-old man of Tokyo's Suginami Ward for allegedly rubbing his butt up against a water tap, according to the investigative sources. The man has admitted to the charge, saying he did it to satisfy his sexual desire, according to sources. The sources said he is suspected of rubbing his anus against a water tap at a park in Tokyo's Setagaya Ward around 2:20 in the morning. The park halted the use of the water tap and plans to replace it. At around 3 a.m. on that day, a police officer found the man riding a bicycle with his lower body exposed on a street in Setagaya. The man was arrested on suspicion of public indecency after a picture of himself taken naked at a park was discovered on his phone. The police later found a photograph of the man rubbing his anus against the water tap and rearrested him on suspicion of property damage. The man reportedly said he took the pictures after confirming with binoculars that no one was nearby. So he rubs his backside against a drinking fountain, which means that water somehow tasted even worse than Dasani. That must have been some funky water. You know it's bad when even the people of Flint, Michigan would pass on it. Hey, do me a favor. Help spread the stupidity. Just share, subscribe, rate, and review the podcast, because this is five-star stupidity. It needs a five-star rating. Of course, when you rate and review the podcast, it'll show up more prominently in searches because you know there's people out there searching for stupidity. And if you're streaming the podcast but you have dropouts because of poor cell coverage or Wi-Fi coverage, just download each episode to your podcast player and you can enjoy it uninterrupted. I use Podcast Addict. It's the number one Android podcast player. It's free, with two types of paid versions. And besides this episode, there's always the weekend episode where Pancho Guerrero, my insane Florida nephew, joins in with his witty commentary to the stupidity. And Pancho answers all your questions with his sage wisdom. You can ask Pancho about anything. And you can test your skill against Pancho during the weekly Insane Game Show. And after both of the episodes are published, I will post links to those stories that were based on for each episode to the Telegram Messenger Insane Eric Lane Stupid World channel. There you can check out all those links and you can even make comments about them, share them with your friends, and interact with the podcast as well. You can preview the channel and get a link to download Telegram Messenger at t.me/insaneericlane. That's t.me/insaneericlane. It's absolutely free and available in desktop or mobile versions for Windows, Linux, Android, or Apple platforms. Don't forget to follow me on social media using the handle at insaneericlane on Facebook or X. You can visit me also on my website, insaneericlane.com. And finally, just ponder this for a minute. I find it a bit counterintuitive that the Dodge Charger isn't an electric vehicle.
Kong, ki-chong, Kong, Kong, ki-chong, Kong, 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 Kong.
Insane Eric Lane's Stupid World is produced with the support from EnvisionWise, LLC, and AmeriCountry.com, from Wise Brother Media, Universal Comedy at the United Stations Radio Network, SheetHappens.com, Good Parts Media, and Mr. Laughs.
Theme music from Randy Stonehill. It's a Great Big Stupid World, copyright 1992 Stonehillian Music, Word Music, Twitch and Vibes Music, and is available anywhere you purchase music.
Thanks for making it to the end of Insane Eric Lane's Stupid World. Please be sure to seek therapy to ensure you still have your wits with you. And if this has inspired you to try your hand at making a podcast, you can do it absolutely free with Spotify for Podcasters. The editing and music library are at your fingertips with Spotify for Podcasters. Download the app from your favorite app store.